I can no longer remain in a party that abuses its power by leveraging the national security state and law enforcement against their opponents, undermining the rule of law, and turning our democracy into a banana republic. Our democracy can survive only if the United States is firmly rooted on the foundation of the rule of law, a nation where justice is applied equally and fairly, no matter your politics, sex, race, or religion. Guided by their belief that the end justifies the means, the Democrat elite are using the power of law enforcement to target political or personal opponents, undermining the essence of the rule of law and exposing their contempt for the American people and our democracy. If we allow this to continue, the America we know and love will disappear forever. This is why I left the Democrat Party and urge other Democrats who love our country to do the same. A nail in the coffin of democracy. On June 9, 2023, Biden administration special counsel Jack Smith indicted former President Donald Trump on 37 felony counts based on Smith's investigation into Trump's handling of classified documents after he left the White House. The indictment alleged crimes related to the retention of national defense information, violations of the Espionage Act, obstruction of justice, and false statements. This was an unprecedented moment in American history. Never in our country has a sitting president used the power of law enforcement to criminally indict the political opponent who poses the greatest threat to his re-election bid. This action by the Biden administration is a serious blow to our democracy, with aftershocks likely to be felt for decades to come. Will future administrations follow suit? Why wouldn't they? The precedent has been set. I was in Colorado Springs wrapping up Army duty as a Civil Affairs Battalion commander at Fort Carson when Smith held his press conference. It just so happened I'd previously been scheduled to speak at the Western Conservative Summit in Denver the next day. So as I made the 90-minute drive to Denver, I listened to the so-called pundits' commentary on different cable news networks. While almost all said they recognized the seriousness of what had just occurred, it was obvious that the commentators on networks like CNN and MSNBC could barely contain their glee. Finally, Donald J. Trump, their enemy number one for so many years, was going to go down. In their minds, victory was at hand. Once I got to the hotel in Denver, I sat down to prepare for the next day's speech. I took one look at the notes I had written and threw them in the trash. I sat at my laptop to write a new speech that would express the gravity and significance of this moment, not just for the upcoming 2024 election, but for a generation to come. I began my speech saying, "It is a historic and dark day in America. A sitting president of the United States has taken unprecedented action, abusing his power by directing the government and justice system to be used against his major political opponent, charging him with multiple crimes right in the middle of a competitive presidential campaign with the election right around the corner. This could be one of the final nails in the coffin of our democracy. President Biden likes to tell us how he's a champion of democracy, but his actions tell a very different story. With his administration's indictment of President Trump and their ongoing efforts to target political opponents and limit free speech, their actions remind us more of authoritarian regimes where leaders often use the power of the state to silence or eliminate their opposition. The heart of a functioning justice system is this. If a law is going to be enforced, it should be enforced equally and fairly across the board. The Democrat elite and their propaganda arm in the media clearly do not believe in this principle, or more likely, they care more about power than they do about our country and our democracy. The blatant double standard in their application of justice is obvious. There is one standard for the Democrat elite and their cabal of friends in the media, big tech, and the national security state, and another standard for anyone who is not a part of their club, especially former President Donald Trump. As I looked at the accusations against Trump and heard the Democrat elite and propaganda media say over and over, quote, "No one is above the law," end of quote, I would have laughed at their hypocrisy if the consequences weren't so serious. The reality is they pick and choose who is and is not above the law. I remembered watching President Obama's FBI director, James Comey, deliver a lengthy speech during his press conference about his investigation into Hillary Clinton, detailing her vast mishandling of highly classified national security documents in her emails, personal server, laptops, and so forth. His statement was so so compelling and damning that I thought for sure the investigation would result in an indictment of some sort, but it did not. Comey chose not to prosecute. I shouldn't have been surprised. Hillary Clinton is at the heart of permanent Washington, and therefore to them is above the law. Even as Jack Smith's investigation into Trump was ongoing, President Biden was found to be storing in unsecure locations classified documents related to national security. When initially asked about these documents, he told reporters, quote, "I think you're going to find there's nothing there," end of quote. But there was something there, a whole lot of something. Multiple searches resulted in the discovery of classified documents at his private office, boxed up in his garage in Wilmington, and in his home. Attorney General Merrick Garland appointed special counsel Robert Hur to investigate Biden. In a report dated February 5, 2024, special counsel Hur stated on page 1 of the executive summary, quote, "Our investigation uncovered evidence that President Biden willfully retained and disclosed classified materials after his vice presidency when he was a private citizen. These materials included 1. Marked classified documents about military and foreign policy in Afghanistan, and 2. Notebooks containing Mr. Biden's handwritten entries about issues of national security and foreign policy implicating sensitive intelligence sources and methods. FBI agents recovered these materials from the garage, offices, and basement den in Mr. Biden's Wilmington, Delaware home. However, for the reasons summarized below, we conclude that the evidence does not establish Mr. Biden's guilt beyond a reasonable doubt. Prosecution of Mr. Biden is also unwarranted based on our consideration of the aggravating and mitigating factors set forth in the Department of Justice's Principles of Federal Prosecution. For these reasons, we decline prosecution of Mr. Biden," end of quote. No consequences. Like Hillary Clinton, President Biden is also above the law. Former President Trump, however, is not part of their permanent Washington club. In fact, he is a threat to their power and therefore faces the full force of the law. One of Jack Smith's allegations against President Trump is that he lied to federal agents. Now, this is one of those charges that the Democrat elite use selectively and only against their opponents. During the Obama administration's reign, former Director of National Intelligence James Clapper and former director of the CIA, John Brennan, both lied under oath to the United States Congress. And not only did they not face prosecution, they kept their jobs and have now been elevated by the Democrat elite and propaganda media, who tout them as two of the greatest national security minds in America. There's also been no accountability for the 51 former senior intelligence officials and CIA operatives who orchestrated a baseless false public statement at the behest of the Biden campaign, alleging the contents of Hunter Biden's laptop to be quote-unquote Russian disinformation, just to keep voters from seeing its contents before we cast our votes in 2020. Similarly, even in the wake of the Durham report exposing that the FBI had launched a years-long investigation into Trump based on what they knew were lies, undermining his presidency, no one has been held accountable in any way. As I detailed these examples to the Western Conservative Summit audience that night in Denver, they recognize the seriousness of the threat we face. What's happening is so much bigger than Trump or any single individual. We are undergoing a direct assault on our democracy. The Democrat elite and Washington establishment are terrified that we, the people, may make the quote-unquote wrong choice in this election by voting for Donald Trump. They're also trying to clamp down on free speech, censoring or limiting certain voices or information that could potentially influence us to make the quote-unquote wrong choice. This is the hallmark of a dictatorship, no matter how well-intentioned the Democrat elite claimed to be. It is exactly this kind of abuse of power that our founders wanted to prevent, and it's why they created the Bill of Rights, emphasizing our right to free speech, freedom of the press, freedom of religion, and freedom of expression. If this is allowed to continue, the harm inflicted on our country and our democracy may be irreversible. The birth of the big hoax. For months before the 2016 election, many of my former Democrat colleagues had been breathlessly claiming that Donald Trump was the most racist, unqualified, vile person who had ever sought the office of the presidency. To create suspicion in the minds of the American people about him, they invented a conspiracy theory that he was quote-unquote colluding with the Russians to win the election. Hillary Clinton used a similar tactic against me when I ran for president in 2020, accusing me of being, quote, groomed by the Russians, end of quote. Leading Democrats asserted with great confidence that this theory about Trump was true and that it was only a matter of time before the evidence was revealed. The fact that there was no evidence didn't stop every mainstream media organization in the country from referring to, quote unquote, Russia collusion as if it were a matter of settled fact. On October 31st, 2016, for instance, the website Slate posted a story claiming that Donald Trump had improper ties to Alpha Bank, one of the most powerful financial institutions in Russia. The problem? None of it was true. As the world learned in May of 2022, the story was nothing more than a piece of quote-unquote opposition research planted by the Hillary Clinton campaign. According to sworn testimony provided by Robbie Mook, who managed the Clinton campaign, Hillary Clinton had overseen a plan to take this fake story, alert the FBI about it, and also plant it with a friendly journalist to sow confusion and suspicion about Donald Trump's relationship with Russia. The Wall Street Journal summarized the revelations, saying that, quote, the Clinton campaign created the Trump Alpha allegation, fed it to a credulous press that failed to confirm the allegations but ran with them anyway, then promoted the story as if it were legitimate news. The campaign also delivered the claims to the FBI, giving journalists another excuse to portray the accusations as serious and perhaps true, end of quote. This process of creating fake news, planting it with the quote-unquote deep state, made up of active and retired officials from within the Justice Department and other national security agencies, and handing it over to the media to repeat and amplify, has played itself out over and over again. The whole point is to mislead the American people and discourage them from voting for Trump. This is what happened with the infamous Steele dossier, a packet of opposition research put together by British spy for hire Christopher Steele, which contained lurid accusations about Russian prostitutes urinating on a bed while Donald Trump watched, among other disgusting things. For years, these absurd lies were treated with the utmost seriousness, and not just by the Clinton campaign and other top Democrats. It was used to obtain a FISA warrant to illegally surveil Carter Page, an American citizen, even though the FBI knew full well that it was a shoddy piece of political opposition research. It was revealed publicly that this dossier was nothing more than gossip and rumor from a former associate of Steele's, and yet no one involved in creating the dossier or spreading it was held to account. No apologies or corrections were made by politicians or their friends in the propaganda media who repeated the lie. The unfortunate reality is that the dirty tactics used by Hillary Clinton, Biden, and the DNC, working hand in glove with their cabal of powerful partners in the mainstream media, big tech, and the national security state, are very effective. These tactics actually work, which is why they keep using them. To this day, most Democrats still believe that Donald Trump and his campaign colluded with Vladimir Putin to win the 2016 election, even though we know for a fact that this was Clinton campaign disinformation. When Hillary Clinton told David Axelrod on his podcast in October of 2019, while I was running for president of the United States, that I was a Russian asset and that the Russians were quote-unquote grooming me, people believed her. The propaganda media repeated Clinton's lies over and over without ever asking for evidence or fact-checking her themselves. The more they repeated the lie, the more people believed it was the truth. Around that time, I visited a local Democrat county meeting in a rural South Carolina town for their monthly get-together. I was the only presidential candidate there, and I took the opportunity to speak to the small group that was gathered and share a little about myself, why I was running for president. I started walking around meeting people individually after the formal program was finished, and all were welcoming and kind. As I was about to leave, the county chair pulled me aside and asked if she could speak with me for a minute. She was an older African-American woman who was clearly the most influential person in the room. She ran a tight ship, and I could see that no one wanted to get on her bad side. As we took a few steps away from the crowd, she gently put her hands on both of my shoulders and looked intently into my eyes. I returned her gaze and saw in her kind eyes that something serious was really bothering her. She said, "Tulsi, I need you to tell me the truth. Are you really working for Putin?" This was such an insane question to ask. "I've served our country in uniform for over 20 years and continue to serve to this day, deployed to war zones, willing to die for America." When she asked me this question, I was a member of the Armed Services and Foreign Affairs Committees in Congress. I attended high-level classified briefings on an almost weekly basis, helping to make decisions impacting our military and the safety and security of the American people. Yet here we were in a small town in rural South Carolina, and this woman was deeply troubled by the lies that former Secretary of State Hillary Clinton and the media had told her and the American people about me, without any evidence or facts to back up their insane accusation that I was a traitor, a puppet for Putin, working for Russia against the United States. I put my hands on her shoulders, looked her straight in the eye, and said, "I love our country so much that I'm willing to put my life on the line to defend our nation and the safety, security, and freedom of the American people. Does that answer your question?" She almost had tears in her eyes as relief washed over her face. She smiled slightly, now at ease, and said, "Yes, thank you," and gave me a big hug. I was glad that she had asked me directly, but as I left the event and got in the car, I felt so disheartened. I knew there were many more people out there just like her who believed Hillary Clinton's lies, and I couldn't reach them all. I didn't have the resources to take on the Hillary Clinton-led Democrat elite machine and their propaganda, media, big tech conglomerate. I was a sitting duck facing their vast arsenal of weaponry. Years have passed since I suspended my campaign for the presidency, yet I still meet people from all walks of life who continue to believe and repeat Hillary Clinton's insane accusation. This is how deeply the Democrat elite have poisoned our democracy with the rot of their lies. Regardless of what you may think of Donald Trump, the length that the Democrat elite are willing to go to destroy him or anyone they see as their opposition should concern every American, not only because it's wrong, but because of the precedent it sets. Today, it is Donald Trump, the main obstacle to President Biden's 2024 re-election ambitions, who is being prosecuted by the Biden Department of Justice and FBI. Tomorrow, the tables may turn, and it could be a Democrat who is on the receiving end. If we allow presidents to use the power and might of the government to take down their political opponents, America will become no better than a banana republic, where each new election is essentially a revolution, with the outgoing administration subject to punishment and former presidents forced to flee the country to avoid getting locked up by the victors. When most news organizations reported the case against Donald Trump in New York, they did so under the simple headline, quote, "Trump indicted," end of quote. Some included a brief subhead about how the indictment involved former President Trump's payment of quote-unquote hush money to the porn star Stormy Daniels. What most of them didn't say, however, is that the underlying crime for which Alvin Bragg and his office had decided to indict the former president was, under New York law, a misdemeanor. Alvin Bragg, who had campaigned for the office of district attorney promising to quote-unquote get Trump on something, had finally figured out a way to fulfill his campaign promise. Given the harm it would inflict on the former president and the accolades he would get for being the first prosecutor to indict Donald Trump, he wouldn't allow a simple thing like the rule of law get in his way. Bragg used the law to go after political opponents while turning a blind eye to criminals, creating anarchy on the streets of New York. One of his first acts as Manhattan District Attorney was to send a memo to his staff advising them not to seek jail time or bail for many serious crimes, including assault. As a result, the rate of serious crimes went up by 22% within his first year in office. The people of New York City can't get on the subway or walk down the street without being at risk of being the next victim of a crime, specifically because of Bragg's decision to prosecute political opponents instead of violent criminals. Unfortunately, this is not happening only in New York City. There are other DAs and prosecutors, just like Bragg, who have been put in power by the Democrat elite in cities across the country and empowered criminals to rule the streets.